I'm gonna like put the recording going so we know it's going. Can see the little lines.
When he says it's not a lot, he's gonna
shall
do
I like go for dead on?
Dead on, man, because that will impress him. That will impress
do
him.
Do you think? Do you reckon he's that sort of guy?
Yeah, 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 definitely. He's Paul Daniels. Magicians are very precise in their timings. I don't know what I'm gonna say to him.
Are you gonna do that? Hi, is that Paul? First of all, or shall I? And then say, here's Ian.
I'll do it. Okay. Unless you want to talk to him. Have you spoken to him yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to put my mic down then. Now. Oh, God, I almost broke the fader.
We've got 1 minute 15 seconds.
Jeez. We should keep this on as like, and put it as the intro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just put this as me being nervous before speaking to a magician.
Should I put this on the...
That sound you can hear is me pulling skin off of my fingers.
Velcro hands. Let me just triple check this number.
50 seconds. Paul Daniels, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You're going to see a whole lot of magic. You're going to see this trick and that trick.
Should I start dialing at like 5 seconds too, so that by the time you're up, it's dead on?
Dead on 2 o'clock. Hello, Paul Daniels.
So you reckon he talks like that?
Of course he talks like that. It's his voice.
Well, no, but it's just...
Oh, I've had too much Chinese food and I've really bad indigestion. I may have to drop one during the interview, but I can do it silently, but you'll know about it. If I give you the thumbs up, that means I've dropped one.
No, okay. I don't want to know. Just do it. And okay, 15 seconds. I'm putting my mic.
Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Saviour.
3, 2, 1. Dialing.
Oh, I'm too nervous.
Can I help you?
Hello, yes, it's Ian Lee from Absolute Radio. I've got an interview, I think, with Paul at 2. Is he around?
You have, and he will be back in literally 1 minute.
Where's he gone?
To the loo.
Oh, dear. That's not very shrubby. Should we hold for Paul to finish, or should we call back? I can't believe that. That's Paul Daniels for you.
He's just in the garden and he'll be in a second. So if you call back in a minute, I'll go and yell him.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
He told me to listen out for you. So
all right, lovely.
He's actually measuring sheds is what he's doing. So I'll go and get him.
All right, we'll call back in a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Okie dokie, bye.
Bye-bye.
I thought he was in the new industry. He's in the garden.
He's measuring shares. Is that a euphemism?
Is he?
We probably can't play that out because we didn't tell her that we were recording. That was Debbie.
Was it?
That was Debbie McGee, yeah.
That is weird.
It was totally Debbie McGee.
I totally didn't get that.
That's wonderful.
That is weird.
That's how nervous I am because normally, relax me, would have gone, is that Debbie McGee? Oh, brilliant.
You should have grabbed her for an interview as well.
Oh, jeez.
We just saw you disappear.
And when he says not a lot, he's really having a bit of a shit. It's the man with a plan, Paul Daniels.
I think that's really funny that he's in the loo, but no, he's in the back garden. I was having visions of him in the toilet in the back garden.
He's measuring sheds.
That's so weird. Who measures sheds?
Old men. Old former magicians. Other types that measure sheds.
Aww.
Now we've got a thing, when do we call back?
Oh no.
We can't call back to, like, imagine we just call back immediately. Put the phone down, then it rang again. Hello? Is he there? No? Okay. Or do we, I reckon we leave it like till five past.
Yeah.
We can stop recording now. Oh yeah, let's stop recording now then. Because we can't put her talking out.
No.
Because we didn't say that we didn't tell her.
No, I'll just keep it running though.
Okay.
Get concerned that I'll forget to push play again.
All right, okay, then put this out as the podcast intro, but
without
cut Debbie out. So for those of you who are listening, we just spoke to the delightful Debbie McGee, who first of all told us that Paul Daniels was on the toilet, and then she said he was out in the garden measuring sheds. I'm going to go. I think that's a euphemism. Every time I go to the toilet, I'm just going to pop to the garden, measure a shed. Oh, that was a big shed.
That's a good one.
Oh dear. Measuring sheds. I've had way too. I knew I shouldn't have had this Chinese food.
I love that we've got his phone number now.
Yeah, Paul Daniels. Let's put it on the internet.
And Debbie answers it if you call.
Yeah, yeah. They've got their relationship sorted out. That's nice. Because I remember when they got together, And everyone's like, oh, Paul Daniels with his young, sexy assistant. That will never last. 20, 30 years later on, they're still together. Isn't that beautiful?
That's
isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Imagine, you know. Well, that's lovely. I think that's wonderful.
It's a good it's lovely.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I just realised that.
Now it's gone all echoey.
It has, hasn't it? Hello?
Now you've made it echoey.
Are you echoey?
I'm echoey. You've made me echoey for Paul Daniels. You've only got a minute.
What did I do?
Hello. Oh, it's echoey.
Oh, no.
Oh, Eloise.
Hello. Oh, it's normal.
That's better. Like they were rushing up.
No, they was just still there.
Like they were rushing
Should
up.
Should we
to
dial?
No, 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't know what I'm going to ask him. It's a little bit echoey again.
It has gone echoey.
Turn your mic off. Hello, that's it. Hello? Is that echoey? Slightly. Okay, let's dial Paul Daniels.
That's fine again.
It's fine. Put yours up?
No, I've not got mine up.
Okay. That's why I said put yours up. Mine's echoey a little bit.
It's when the phone line's up.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's try the second phone line.
Hello, yes, 1, 2, 3.
I'll go for the phone line too.
Okay. Paul Daniels. You're gonna see a whole lot of magic. You're gonna see this trick and that trick. And when he says it's not a lot, oh yeah, it's gonna be such a lot. Hello. I had too much Chinese food.
Hi.
Hello, is that Paul?
It is.
Hello, Paul. It's Ian Lee from Absolute Radio. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Are you free to talk for a little bit?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Have you finished measuring your sheds?
Well, I'm measuring a boat, really.
Really?
I've got to figure out a way to cover it up for the winter now, yeah.
Oh, blimey, have you not got a shed for it?
No, it's 31... You would need a shed with an internal... Or a tent with an internal diameter of about 32 feet.
Jeez. Hey, sorry, just going straight in it. Funny you mentioned tents. I was just watching on YouTube you making an elephant disappear in a tent.
Yeah, I wish I'd kept the tent.
Yeah, that would have been big enough, wouldn't it? That big industrial green thing.
Yeah. In fact, it was a military tent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've just been looking around, and the darn thing is you need an internal height of at least 9 feet.
Jeez.
It's very high. I'm just about to put it on Twitter.
Twitter is the place that I always ask questions and get answers very, very quickly.
You do, don't you? It's really good.
Who are you on Twitter? What name are you under? Are you Paul Daniels?
I'm the Paul Daniels, T-H-E, Paul Daniels. Because there was a guy in Australia, I think, that had already nicked it for Twitter, yeah.
And Paul was Daniels. He pretending to be you, or was he also called Paul Daniels? Because there are a lot of fakes out there.
Well, on Facebook, there were 11 Paul Daniels at one time, and none of them were me. You know?
Dear. You've got to be so careful in the 21st century, people pretending to be you.
Yeah, although there is a site now, isn't there, that checks up and finds out whether they're real or not.
I think there is. Paul, listen, the reason I've got you on is because I was following someone on Twitter, a guy called Charlie Brooker, who writes for The Guardian, and he wrote that he bumped into you at a party or saw you at a party. And I remembered that when I was young, I used to absolutely love you, man. You used to own Saturday Nights. You were my boyhood hero. And you were the king of Saturday nights for a long time, weren't you?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I mean, you say that. I only ever did at most 10 shows a year.
Is that all?
Yeah. Wow. I think what made... the stuff I did, though, was carefully designed to be memorable.
Yeah.
And different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people remembered the stuff I did, because it was different to what everybody else was doing.
I used to be as, I mean, I'm 36 now, so sort of throughout the 80s, I was, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that. And every Saturday night that it was on, I was just transfixed by the evil voodoo you were doing on that screen. There was some crazy stuff you did. Was there one, the one I really remember, I may have got this wrong, is you burnt Debbie McGee to a frazzle or something and implied that she had died or something. Was that one?
Well, that would be the cremation illusion.
That was it, yes.
That would be a cremation illusion. A fairly standard illusion. But what I tended to do, which, you know, sort of made me the, if you like, the talking point of the magic world, was the, I never did them quite in the way they used to be done.
Right.
And I still don't.
And how did you, because you worked with Ali Bongo, is that right?
Yeah, the great Ali Bongo.
Is Ali Bongo still with us?
No, Ali died.
Oh, dear.
He always wanted to be president of the Magic Circle. He became president of the Magic Circle, and during his year, he died.
Oh.
And such a shame, such a shock, because he was such a vibrant man. And he died in Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I tell a lie. He had a stroke in Paris. He came over here, died over here.
Because I remember him even further back with his kind of weird turban. And as a kid, you're watching this guy in a turban doing this strange but yet beautiful magic. It just, you know, it's just transfixing. And I don't think
it was strange in that he was a bit of a send-up.
Yeah.
Of a magician, and the magic seemed to be happening without him being in control of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very funny guy.
Yeah. But the thing I was thinking as well about your show is, was it half an hour, an hour? I think an hour long, maybe.
They varied. Some, I think we started out at 30 minutes, and then they became the standard 55 minutes, you know, that kind of thing, yeah.
Because it's kind of hard to sustain a magic show for 55 minutes over, you know, however long, 8-10 shows in a series. That's a lot of material to be doing.
A lot of work went into them. It was a 12-month job, really.
Yeah.
You were constantly thinking, designing, where would it fit in? If you were sawing a woman in half in one show, you wouldn't do that again, that series.
Yeah.
And the next series, you would not do it in the same way.
Yeah.
So if you were going to float somebody in the air, then you would do it. You would find a different way to do it than what you'd done before. And so that kind of thinking, and then the constant search around the world, for the best of the speciality acts to find them and bring them in. Yeah, it was a full-time job.
There was a guy I remember that probably couldn't get on TV now, where he used to blow balloons and then smoke cigarettes and blow the smoke into the balloons. The bubbles, sorry, bubbles.
Noddy.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Tom Noddy was amazing, yes. I don't know how he can get over, because now, get over the current smoking ban in theatres and things like that. Although there must be something in theatre that allows somebody to smoke in a play if it's relevant.
I don't think there is. I seem to remember some scandal that Mel Smith was in a play as Churchill, and he wanted to spark up a cigar, and the local council said, well, you can't. You cannot be smoking a cigar even if you're playing Churchill.
Oh, he should have asked me.
Why? What could you do? Could you have sorted it out?
You can smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
Without smoking a cigar, you can, and you can produce smoke that isn't.
When I was a very young kid, this is all reminiscing, but you used to be able to buy fake cigarettes as an 8-year-old that you
with
would
a little red end on.
Yeah, and you'd blow and smoke would come out of it. That's wonderful.
Oh, that one, yeah.
They're
yeah.
wonderful things, man. So, Paul, you're still doing magic. I tweeted that you were coming on, and someone tweeted you just did a gig, I think at his wedding in Spain or something.
I've been to France since then, and I've also done a show up near Coventry.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'll be in Wigan. I'll be back in Coventry on Saturday doing a book signing.
Okay. Oh, there's a book, is there?
Well, no, it's a new range of Wisbit books.
Oh, Wisbit. I forgot about Wisbit. My wife's favourite TV programme. She continually sings the song to me.
Well, now you know what to buy for Christmas.
I will do, Paul. Thank you. But so you're still doing shows in the UK, are you?
Yes. About 4 or 5 years ago, you've got to understand something. Right now, as we speak, show business,
yeah,
live show business in the United Kingdom is just about dead in the water.
Yeah.
You will get the big pop concert. You will get a big current comedy star doing their thing.
Yeah.
You'll get ice shows and even dancing shows. But what you won't get is what the sort of show you could go and see in the clubs and all that jazz. That seems to have all died. And theatres tend to be suffering at the moment, which I think is very odd, but never mind.
Yeah.
And the and so a few years ago, my village asked me if I would do a show for them because they'd never seen me. So I said yes. And I found out I just loved it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. Everybody knew everybody. If I made a joke about him over there, they all knew who he was.
Yeah.
And so life got very easy. And then what happened was these village halls started getting lottery grants and becoming well appointed. So I have a couple of guys now who are out there looking for village halls that seat a minimum of 200, 250.
Yeah.
And then I tootle off and do one of them a week.
Fantastic.
And I shall do that until it all comes back again. Which I understand this starts on Friday, doesn't it?
I think so, yes. That's what it'll...
The recession is over on Friday, I think.
Yeah, and I think Monday everything's back to normal. So, fingers crossed, you'll be doing the West End run again. Was it the Magic Man that you did in the West End? That's probably about 10, 15 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Have you got a website or anything where these gigs are listed? Because I know I'd certainly love to come along and see you doing this live show.
Yes, there's pauldaniels.co.uk.
Right.
There's my profile page on Twitter.
Yep.
I list them on there. I only put the public ones up because corporate jobs and after dinners and all that, well, you do all them and they don't want publicising.
They don't want publicising, but boy, do those corporate gigs pay well, sir, don't they? I do one or two of them, and they certainly keep the mortgage going.
They employ you, do they?
No, very, very occasionally. Not as often as they used to.
I must put my price up.
cheeky sod, what are you saying? Have you written an autobiography? And if not, why the hell not?
Oh, yeah, I wrote one. They keep on to me to bring it up today, but, you know, I really don't like writing all that much. But I did an autobiography. Everybody says it's still good. You can still order it, I think, on Amazon, places like that, you know. And it's called Under No Illusion.
Okay, that's on my Christmas. You don't need to write it, though. You just get a ghostwriter in and tell them the stories. They'll type it up and put into
Funny
ship
shape. You should say that.
Really?
A guy approached me and he said, I've got this, I write autobiographies. And he gave me a list. I said, well, all right then. So for about 3 months, I dictated. Well, I sat and told stories.
Yeah.
He wrote them down, but I never got to see what the hell he was writing. and eventually, we're about 2 weeks away from a deadline. I said, look, I've got to read this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think page one, my parents, who are called Huey and Nancy, you know, set off on the road to the northeast, like Joseph and Mary on the road to...
Jeez.
What's all this? And he said... And then I checked him up on his email address.
Yeah.
And he was part of Christians in Entertainment. And I was part of a Christian promotion campaign. And fortunately, I can touch type. It took me 3 weeks to rewrite the book. And I had to remove all that. I couldn't have all that. It's not funny.
I'm not laughing at that, Paul. I just remembered something else.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yes, I am. that is very funny. I'm going to come and look on your website because I would love to come and see you and, just you doing a relaxed evening of magic and maybe a Q&A and stuff, I think would be a marvellous evening.
Well, it seems to go very well.
Yeah.
I tell you somebody else you should go and see because he's touring around, Dennis Norden.
Oh, really? He's fantastic.
He just sits there and tells stories. And you have to be in the kind of relaxed mood that he is always in.
Yeah.
And somebody out the audience asked him what he thought about the recent Jonathan Ross affair.
Yeah.
And he said, I think that is a question that must be carefully considered and avoided.
Excellent answer. Excellent answer. Paul, listen, I just very quickly before we go, what do you think of all the Darren Browns and all these new magicians?
Well, Darren is the latest in a long line of Chan Canasta, Al Karan, David Berglas, all these people who did the part of magic we call mentalism.
Yeah.
And and then it's down to, do you like the character or do you not like the character?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. I enjoyed his live show.
Oh yeah, the theatre show is. I saw that a couple of years ago, and I think it's better than the TV show. My personal opinion.
All live shows.
Yeah.
They're all better than the TV.
Yeah, of course. I get the feeling from the TV show that you used to have lots and lots of tricks, and it feels like he just does one or two tricks per show, and a lot of it is the razzmatazz leading up to it. And I kind of feel a little bit cheated from his TV shows.
David Copperfield tended to do that.
Yeah, it was like, I'm going to be flying. I'm going to fly. And you'd be there waiting for an hour for him to fly. And then he'd do it. And it was good. But it's like, can you do some more things in that hour, please, Mr. Copperfield, and your eyebrows?
Well, it's difficult. The difficulty there is the lack of researchers.
Yeah.
I had a good team that would be constantly bringing me things, as well as me doing it, and as well as me writing and creating. They would suggest ideas. But you see, your problem is, if you're a mentalist, for example, I'm going to tell you which word you're thinking of in that book.
Yeah.
I'm going to read your mind. That's the trick.
Yeah.
There is nowhere else to go, is there?
Yeah, you're right.
How can you make that amount of variety in your series of mind reading shows?
Mm.
I mean, it has been done. I mean, others have done it in the past. I just wish that Darren's
Paul. Paul Daniels.
He's gone.
He's disappeared.
It's really
He's done a trick. Wow, that's exciting. Well, let's have a couple more minutes. So we just should say thank you to him. I bet his battery's died.
This is the Vodafone voicemail service.
Quick!
Get rid of the number! Get rid of the number!
Doubles.
Okay. Jeez, I bet his battery's died. Or he got bored. It's possible. Paul Daniels got bored talking to me.
But surely people don't just hang up doing that.
Well, maybe they do.
Let's try again.
Oh, I bet his battery's died.
This is the Vodafone.
Oh, Paul, you silly sausage. Well, okay.
Oh, no.
Let's give him a couple of minutes to
find
a charger.
Plug it back in,
find a charger.
That's hilarious.
Paul Daniels. Oh, bless him. I want to just tell him I love him. I told him to sod off, though. That was good. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I liked that.
That was good.
At first, he was a bit like... Bit timid and a
bit
wary.
I thought he was a bit wary. I thought he was wondering if this was a piss take and there was going to be a gag coming at some point. But it's a genuine...
Do you think he knows who you are?
He hasn't got a clue.
I think he knows.
No, he hasn't got a clue.
I think he knows. No. I think he might have researched you. It strikes me as that type.
Yeah, possibly. In that case, he has every right to be suspicious. But should we try him again?
Okay.
This is the Vodafone voice.
Daniels! Daniels! You bloody idiot!
Why do you charge your phone if you need your
phone? Come on, you
know
you're doing
an
interview! Is he and Lee on Absolute Radio, for crying out loud? not charge your phone in for that, it's gold!
You're on a roll as well. Oh,
I just wanted to ask him about his bonko booth, but.
I wonder if he's still talking on the phone, not realised it's.
It's quite possible. It's most distinctly possible. Listen, should we have a production meeting on air? We'll put all of this out as a podcast, the whole interview.
Okay.
But I think we can get like 5-6 minutes out of that. The thing about the book is very funny. There was another, the Christian book's brilliant.
Love that bit.
We'll get 5 minutes out of this. I think it'll be nice. I mean, it's a little dry, but I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, book thing.
The book thing, there was him talking about doing shows in village halls is nice.
Yeah, and I liked the... corporate thing where he called you a cheeky sod.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah.
You called him a sod.
I told him to sod off, yeah. Oh, you sod, yeah. That was nice. A little bit of sheds.
Yeah.
Sheds is funny.
Boat measuring. How could it go from toilet? Shed measuring, boat measuring.
Well, you see, you need a shed of a minimum 9 feet high, you know, and it's very difficult to find such facilities. I love him.
Shall I try again?
Try him again. And the thing about him owning Saturday Nights is a nice little line, I think. There you go, you're listening to the production.
This is the Vodafone voicemail.
God.
Daniels!
He's not plugging it. He may well have hung up on you.
He may have just thought, this is so dull.
I doubt it.
Life. is too short. Put his Twitter and his Twitter thing on there as well. So yeah, like 5 or 6 minutes would be nice, I think, for Mr. Daniels, and maybe some like spooky magic music, like spooky.
Yeah, Wizardora. Wizardora.
Yeah, without words, not Wizardora. Do you remember Wizbit? Remember Wizbit?
Vaguely,
ha,
actually.
Ha ha, this away. Ha ha, that away. Yeah, ha ha, this away. My oh my, a man had got a rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. He then had got a rabbit. My oh my.
I do remember. Do you want me to try again?
Yeah.
Let's just keep trying him. 5 seconds.
This is
the Daniels! Mr. Daniels, sir!
He might have thought we hung up on him.
I know, he might be really, might be...
Text him.
I don't know his number.
I've got his number.
Oh yeah, give me Daniel's...
Let me just put down my mic and your mic.
Oh, hang on a minute, because I've got to turn my phone on. Well, I'm going to have Daniel's number.
Just do one more go now, and then I'll give you the number. You can text him so that he knows.
This is the Vodafone voicemail.
Okay, let's turn this recording off for the moment. We'll call him in 5 minutes, at 5:30.
Oh, sorry.
You've done it there. No, that's fine. We'll do it there.
It's all right. I'll put it back up now.
No, bye.
Mike, so when Harry's here, are you just talking to yours while you're just there?
Hello.
Oh, it sounds okay. And if Harry sits at 4 or you're 1, either will be fine, I think.
Where's he going to sit?
Either of those two.
And where am I going to sit?
Here.
Where you are?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
And I'll hover at the side. Ooh. Good, it's still there. Should try him again?
Yep.
When do you give up?
Never give up.
Oh. Ringing.
Yay!
I do the vanishing act.
Where did you go, Paul?
I had no idea.
Suddenly
you were talking and suddenly you weren't.
We thought that, because we've been trying to call you, we thought maybe your battery had died or something.
No, how dare you?
We're going, why has he not charged his phone up for the interview? How rude. Or we thought maybe you just got bored
and
you
hung
up.
What a good idea. No, that's a good idea. I didn't charge my phone up for the interview.
I thought that might have been it. Or maybe you got bored and hung up on us. That's a possibility and would be acceptable. Paul, listen, we will let you go in a second. I just want to say, first of all, the Bonco booth was an act of pure genius.
Well, look, yeah, I suggested a programme to come out of that,
yeah.
And the BBC didn't want to do it. And then you wait to let the years go by, and along come the Hustlers,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It was a genius, genius piece of the show. Is there any chance we're going to see you on TV doing magic again? I mean, the wife swaps and all of that are great fun, but... You know, I love you as a magician. Is there any possibility of that?
This is going to sound really conceited.
Go on.
Debbie and I tootle off around the world. We do Vegas and New Zealand and Germany and everywhere in between. And we get standing ovations for doing magic stuff.
Yeah.
And then we come back to this country and they say, can you cook? Can you sing?
Yeah, yeah.
Will you sit on your bum in a jungle? and I just think, you've lost the plot.
Yeah.
They really have lost touch with entertainment, and it's so sad.
I agree with you.
But I'm okay. I'm in board. I'm working. I'm happy. It's just that every day I answer Twitters and faces and all that, emails, all saying, you know, are you coming back on TV? TV doesn't want me to come back on TV.
Yeah, I think that's the truth.
And that's okay by me. It's just, you know, I mean, bless him and please, I like Darren and all his show, but when he, after all that publicity on the lottery, he only got 3 million viewers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not his fault. That's because the TV controllers have no idea what built up audiences in the past.
Yeah, I don't want to watch a load of knobs in a house or a load of people. I keep getting asked to do the ice skating one. I don't want to go ice skating. That's not what it's all about, you know.
No, I mean it's just not for me. I'm afraid unreality shows don't appeal to me. I don't cook. I eat out. Debbie's a great cook.
Yeah.
So there goes 90% of TV.
Yeah, it's
just not there for me.
It's a shame, man, because I said at the start, and without any irony or sarcasm, you owned Saturday nights. And when I was growing up, I had the Paul Daniels magic. I had the boxes, the box sets. I had the books. I had the you know, I was doing all the tricks at home as a little kid. And you were an inspiration, Paul. And I genuinely mean that sincerely.
Muchísimas gracias.
It's a pleasure. I just want to say thank you very much for coming on. And, you know, I wish you and Debbie the best of luck in the future.
Thank you very much, sir. I hope all is well with you, and long may it be, sir.
Bless you, Paul. Thanks a lot, man. Take care, and send our love to Debbie.
Will do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll find her in the kitchen. Bye.
Good lad. Bye-bye. Beautiful. That was Paul Daniels. Come on. Without a hint of irony, and I hope he realises that there is no tongue is in my cheek in the slightest. That's a proper legend.
He's a gent as well.
Isn't he a nice man? Isn't he a nice man? Up yours, Brown. It's Daniels is the governor. There we go. We'll knock that into some shape and that'll go out on the radio. Thank you.
And podcast.
Oh, yes.